Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and I am blessed, not just because I have the biggest waiting room in all of podcast history. There's 65,000 people, that a capacity for my waiting room for my podcast studio here at SoFi Stadium, the greatest stadium ever built. But I have the greatest coaches, teachers, entrepreneurs in the world joining me on the playbook. And one of my friends who just keeps exceeding my expectations of how much good he's doing in the world, Damon John, who everybody knows was the founder and CEO of FUBU. He's also, by the way, a presidential ambassador for global entrepreneurship. We don't have to mention he's the star of ABC's Shark Tank and the CEO of Shark Group. But he also, what most people don't understand, spends a lot of time empowering our leaders, billionaires, millionaires, entrepreneurs, celebrities, athletes, and entertainers who need the situational knowledge and experience that Damon has had over the last 30 years to help them accelerate, aggregate, and compound their outcomes. Welcome back to Entrepreneurs the Playbook, the incredible Damon John.
Thanks, D. I mean, what an amazing, intro. And thank you for all you do. I think you probably empower more than I do because you talk directly to everybody. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate everything you're doing. And what I found out over the years is how much synergy that we have. And one of the things that's so interesting is a lot of guys in our space are very scarce. So they feel threatened by you when you have the relationships with the biggest and most powerful leaders in the world. They feel like, well, if David knows them, I won't be able to work with them and we won't be able to work together or collaborate. And you are the exact opposite. I have these unbelievable leaders that I keep inspiring to go talk to Damon because we work together and collaborate to help them prioritize today what's important. And this prioritization is the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastination, which, believe it or not, are still symptoms of the greatest leaders in the world. How do you keep an abundant attitude with so many people wanting to get to you, your clients, and your business?
Well, I mean, I think that it's the mindset that, first of all, those people, we've seen them all, right? And by the way, you know, there's a couple of things. If I see Dave Meltzer and he knows people, you have two options on dealing with Dave Meltzer. Get the hell out of his way, because he's going to be successful with or without you, and that's how he got here. Or find ways to add value to Dave and value to everybody around you, and then sooner or later, people come back and go, you know what? You've been a great dude or a great woman. You know what? How can I be of service to you? And that's how I started out in the beginning with FUBU. I mean, think about it. I always say it. I came up. I'm dyslexic. I didn't have any money. Some people would say African American was a challenge as well. I'm short. I got left back in school, but I found ways to keep walking into the room to add value to other people. And then sooner or later, they would say, how can I help you? Because walking into the room saying, what can I get? And I can't hook you up. Yeah, well, that line, it starts in Brooklyn and it ends all the way, at the arena you're at in California. You know, there's a million people on that line, but the people to add value. And isn't that what CEOs and founders do? They created a business to add value to somebody. So that's always been my mentality.
And in that value mentality, I've broken it down. You can either help someone, give them more of what they like, take away what they don't like. Give them more of what they know, take away what they don't know. Give them more of what's working, take away what's not working. And in this process of helping people understand what's important today, I love to compare the situation and the experience I've had from years past. What are some of the comparative quantitative analysis that you do today that's different than 5 years ago? Obviously, technology is a big deal, but when you're helping these billionaires make better decisions to make more money for the sake of helping others and having fun, in other words, to be happy, what are some of the things compared to before that you're focused in on today?
Well, today, I'm more focused on the actual brand building of individuals, whether it is a gajillionaire or a little kid in school, because, you know, as the technology has grown, the thing that you cannot replace is legacy, history, vulnerability and track records. You cannot buy that. Right. And you have to buy into, or you have to sell exactly what it is. All of us made mistakes as young CEOs. All of us made mistakes as kids. Thank God social media wasn't out when I was under 30, because I'd be somewhere locked up for something that I didn't know I was doing wrong, or I thought I was doing right, or I wanted more of. So I think that's the most important thing, because whether you're in a large corporation, you're working in the mailroom, just like you know with CAA and William Morris, you better be a rock star and make sure that name precedes you, you know, into the C-suite's office before you walk into that office. And that's really critical for all of us.
And in that critical analysis too, so many people, and you and I, we shared this opinion years ago, was they were so focused in on followers, right? And everybody wanted all these followers. And the systems, as early on, they would feed followers your content, but that's not true today. Today, it feeds interest. So you have to be more interested than interesting to gather a bunch of leaders of interest. And you, like me, are focused in on leaders, executive level leaders, people that are going to empower others. You talk about legacy. For me, there's only one way to create a legacy, and that's to empower others, your own children, your own family, your community, and maybe even the world, as you're an ambassador, to empower others. So you have to do a lot more than have them follow you. You have to empower them to lead. What are some of the key characteristics that haven't changed over the years? I have a premise that the same things that made someone successful 100 years ago are the same characteristics that make you successful today.
Yeah, and I think that you hit it right on the head, right? So however many followers you have today with the algorithm, those things, nobody cares, right? And you can have, you know, I always give the Kim Kardashian, you know, example. Let's say, I don't know what she has today, but let's say she has 200 million followers and you want to sell, you know, lipstick, and you're buying, you know, Kim Kardashian's algorithm, or you're paying Kim Kardashian. Well, all those people don't want lipstick. By the way, 50% of them are women. And out of that 50%, half of them cannot stand her. They're watching her so they can hate on her. So whatever color lipstick you're buying, they're buying it for somebody else. And the other 50% are men with trench coats and lollipops in their mouth, right? So the following doesn't matter. It matters about what you're saying. Now, the beautiful thing with all this information out, that you're a public speaker, I'm a public speaker, people already have the information. They can go read a book, pull it up on chat, or it's online. They want to know your unique perspective on this. How did you get there? Where do you see it going? And what are you doing today? And that's the thing that's important to them. Showing the glossy car, the this, we did that. Nobody really cares about that. They want to know what's in it for me. People are extremely selfish. But once you make them the smartest person at the water cooler on Monday morning, or the smartest person on Zoom, they feel like they become a voice of authority. And that's the most important thing you can do, is share information that people want to share socially. I mean, isn't that the basis of a social network?
That's so true. And one of the variances that exists today is that knowledge when we were young was actually power. That's why you had to go to school, in my opinion, to get more knowledge, or at least find resources to give you knowledge. I believe knowledge is a commodity today. What I can do with AI, I can access knowledge. I just built a car by taking pictures of other people's car and asking ChatGPT, where can I buy this part? And it would give me the link. And it was so easy. But what you're talking about isn't sharing knowledge. It's sharing wisdom. And inherent in the wisdom, and your wisdom is off the charts, and you're accessible to people with this wisdom. And that's what makes it so extraordinary. People don't think you're accessible, and they're not reaching out. These great leaders don't think you're accessible. And I'm out there telling them, hey, you need help, and Damon will help you.
Yeah, and of course we help you know, CEOs and things like that. But you know that you're right, you're spot on with that, right? Information's out there. So what is your wisdom? There's a saying, right? If you know how things work technically, well, you'll always have a job. You'll be an engineer. But if you know why they work, you'll always be the boss. And what is motivating people to take that action? And that's what we talk about, you know, how we manage CEOs, because today, you know, the organization, they're looking and they're curating how the organization looks. But people today, with all these layers that you can go on the social media or websites or whatever, they want to know who's making the decision behind that. And not only what are they doing for me, but what are they doing for somebody else? Because you want to brag. I mean, I'll give you an example. The Bombas socks guys, right? It sucks. Well, by the way, it's the number one successful invested in product in Shark Tank history out of all 54 Shark Tanks around the world. So when you see those underachievers called Mark Cuban, Kevin O'Leary, Barbara Corcoran. Just remind them of that. But at the end of the day, they're socks. So why do people buy them? Because they're good socks, of course. You could buy them directly, but and underwear. But every single pair that you buy, they give a pair away to those in the homeless community. Like, and it got obviously, you know, popular because of Tom's shoes. Now, why are people selfish? They're selfish because at the dinner table, they can say, oh, when did you give? What are you talking about? When did I give? Every single time that I buy these, this or that, or I do this, it cleans up the ocean. This, it stops human trafficking. And every time I buy this, I care about those in the homeless community because this is what they're requesting as the number one garment. And I'm buying you 10 pair of socks for Christmas. And so it makes people selfish at the end of the day to be able to say, I did all this together at one. That's just one simple example.
Yeah, it's so true. And one of the reasons I worked with Lee Steinberg was he required every athlete that he represented to start a charity or a purpose or a cause that was truly something that resonated with them. So you couldn't just make something up and give to a certain big charity. You had to think about it, and whether it was you had holes in your shoes or you were a single mom and give down payments like Work Done and do those types of things, it made a difference. But he built platforms for his athletes. Where I wanted to finish up is today more than ever, I don't think CEOs and leaders understand what a platform actually is. They know what personal branding is, and they may start a podcast, but what you do is build a social silo. And what this is, just so you know, what Damon is able to do is if somebody said, hey, have you heard of Blake Makowski? No, I haven't heard. Oh, he was the founder of Tom's, for example, as you just mentioned. Oh, well, he helps build this social silo. So when you go Google or ChatGPT or whatever you do, your first LinkedIn or IG, whatever it is, you now have a platform, which is a social silo. And the way that it works today is that once you go down the Blake rabbit hole, now you get fed for free more Blake. And right. There's no advertising, no dollars. Why should leaders be thinking about, for the long-term legacy, building a social silo, this platform that you are incredible at helping CEOs and leaders do?
Right. So I think you're touching on, my brand of management, and we call it CEO Access. We manage CEOs because what's happening today is the CEO is a new rock star. Now, I want to talk about the counterpart of that. You definitely can't put lipstick on a pig and say that you're doing something that you're not, because you will get ripped down quite quickly due to that. But, you know, CEOs have a bigger obligation these days. You know, if the kid in the mailroom who has 10,000 followers decides to say that you did something crazy in there, and if you have no representation out there on your social media platforms, whatever it is, there's no history. They can take you down. And when they take you down, guess what? Hundreds, maybe thousands of people lose their job because you are unable to be able to fight that in real time and turn on a camera. Remember, if you are invisible as a CEO, you're vulnerable. And if you're vulnerable, you are replaceable. Now, if you look at CEOs who understand how to brand themselves, I mean, look at Richard Branson. There's 1,000 people who invest in airlines. There's only one Richard Branson. Look at, venture capitalists. There's only one Kevin O'Leary. Even look at real estate brokers. There's only one Barbara Corcoran. And I don't want to get into politics, but there's a lot of real estate developers. But argument sake, the most powerful man in the world learned how to brand himself in the 80s and the 90s. And now, you know, he's one of the most powerful men in the world. So you have an obligation to you, your family, your staff, and your business. Now, if they decide to out you on that business and take it over, because, I know all these CEOs out here who end up attaching somebody to the board, that's the first person that wants to get rid of them. But when they want to get, they want to move you out, where do you go? You want the phone to ring for you, so you set the number in different areas. You can be a Dave Meltzer who started off, as far as I know, kind of in that sports area. But, you know, your mind works in such a magnificent way that you can be a CEO of a software company, of a soft drink company, of a charity, because people now know you. They like your thought process and they say, please come on in to help us, advise us, or even run the company.
And I want to finish up with something that's important to me. And the reason I'm one of your biggest fans and would do anything to help bring value to your community, but it's humility. You know, my mom passed last year, and
I'm sorry
to choke up, but she always said, son, As I became successful as a young man, and she raised six kids on her own. Five of them went to the Ivy Leagues. Education was important to her. But she said to me, "Son, you're either humble or you're about to be." And when I think of a humble, successful person, I think of Damon John. And when I found out how accessible you are to the people in my community, to the people in other people's community, to help leaders truly lead, to be intelligent followers with not only gratitude, which is important to both of us, but humility. For you, you've had every success. For goodness sake, you're the presidential ambassador for global entrepreneurship. How has humility still played an integral role in how you help others?
Humility is very important because all of us can relate to a couple of things in this world, in this country. We all want to work an honest day's job. You know, we don't want to be judged for something that we didn't do. We want to feed our families and we want to be around the people we love. We want acknowledgement. And if you walk into the room and understand, you know, listen, you and I have been in the biggest room, and you will never have a bigger wallet or a bigger brain than somebody in the room. Because if Mark Cuban woke up with Zuckerberg's money, he would jump out the window. Or if Elon Musk woke up with Zuckerberg's money, he'd jump out the window. So you can never try to outbattle people. When I walk into a room, I walk into a room like I'm on a quest. I want to learn. Because the most interesting thing you can say to somebody is, tell me about yourself. Trust me, they'll talk for 45 minutes and they'll turn around to you and say, you're an interesting person. But you make them feel important. And when you make people feel important, they want to work for you. When you walk in the room and you have your chest out, they go, either he's got it or she's got it, they're all straight, or you know what? They're an a-hole, because that's the energy you put out. When you walk in that room, you're in that room for a reason. You're in that room to make friends and to grow your personal brand and to empower yourself, your company, your family. When you walk in that room and you empower other people, they want to fight for you.
And we will fight for each other as we're both on a mission of empowering others to empower others to
I
make
gotta tell
an
you, Dave,
impact.
you know, I know people know you, but I'm gonna tell you hit me all the time with, hey man, come to this dinner and and come hang out and stuff like that, because you just want to put the right people in the room. You don't ask for anything, and that's why, your home is an entire stadium right there, you know.
Big enough waiting room for everybody here at SoFi Stadium. He is the presidential ambassador of global entrepreneurship for a reason. He is humble and grateful, but more important, he's accessible. Whether you're a billionaire, a millionaire, an entrepreneur, a celebrity, an athlete, or an entertainer, if you want to learn how to lead and build a platform of leadership, a community of people that want to help each other and know people that help each other, go to coaccess.com. Damon John is accessible. You can have the best help. The fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there and ask them for directions. Damon John, thank you for giving me so much directions over the
Thank you
years.
so much. Thank you for inviting people to CEOaccess.com. We can take very few people, but it's almost like the super friends. Like you worked with one of my guys the other day, because once you're in our world, we're like, you need to talk to Dave. We're like, I want to talk to Dave. Hey Dave, can you talk to you? Absolutely, put him on. So it's about branding CEOs to become notable for their level of expertise in their industry, and hopefully sit in the seat right next to me, because we got to get rid of Kevin, Dave. Dave, you need to be next to me. We got to find a way to get rid of this guy.
I love it. I certainly will help you however I can. Now that he's movie famous, it's
He's
even
a movie
more
star.
difficult. He's a movie star, and yet you are the star that shines so brightly around our country and around the world. Please, everybody, check out CEOaccess.com. Damon John, there is no one like him in the entire world. I'm blessed to call him a community and a friend member. Thank you so much, Damon, for
Thanks,
joining me.
Dave.
You got it. I'm David
Peace.
Meltzer from SoFi Stadium, the greatest stadium ever built, with Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.